ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। वुड लाइक टू वेलकम ऑल गेस्ट्स एंड डिवोटीज टू आवर संडे फेस्टिवल वेर वी आर हैविंग अ सीरीज ऑफ लेक्चर्स ऑन द नरसिंह लीला। I also would like to thank His Grace Govind Prabhu and Baldev Prabhu for giving me an opportunity to serve all of you today afternoon, where we'll try to glorify the Supreme Lord and try to please all of you. And also I'll be speaking for the purification of my own wretched heart. So thank you all for coming. Last week, we concluded the class, Radhesham Prabhu concluded, by explaining about how Hiranyakashipu was killed by Lord Narasimhadev. And it's supposed to be Narasimha Leela series. So one devotee asked me, Hiranyakashipu is killed, now what? Now what is there to discuss? Now actually there are two chapters which are very, very powerful, very important. And they are the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. And these prayers are very significant, and we will today discuss briefly some of these prayers from these two chapters. After Hiranyakashipu is killed, Lord Narasimhadev, who has come in a very ferocious Ugra roop, is in a very angry mood. He is roaring and everybody is trembling in fear. Nobody is able to come in front of the Lord to appease him. So you can imagine what must be his anger. He killed the greatest of the demons, Hiranyakashipu. And in that anger, nobody is able to satisfy the Lord. We'll read the translation. Very interesting. This pastime is being narrated by Narad Muni to Maharaj Yudhishthir. And he says, the demigods headed by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, they all dare to not come in front of the Lord, because at that time the Lord was extremely angry. And then the goddess of fortune Lakshmiji was requested to go before the Lord by all the demigods, but even Lakshmiji could not do so, because even she had never seen such a wonderful and extraordinary form of the Lord, and thus even she could not approach the Lord. Thereafter, Lord Brahma requested Prahlad Maharaj, because after all, because of him the Lord has appeared. So you have to appease the Lord now. So Lord Brahma tells Prahlad that, my dear son, Lord Narasimhadev is extremely angry at your demoniac father. Please go forward and appease the Lord. Although Prahlad was only a little boy, he accepted Lord Brahma's words and he gradually proceeded towards Lord Narasimhadev and fell down to offer his respectful obeisances with folded hands. And when Lord Narasimhadev saw the little boy Prahlad Maharaj prostrated at the soles of his lotus feet, the Lord's anger disappeared. He became most ecstatic in affection towards his devotee. Raising Prahlad, the Lord placed his lotus hand upon the boy's head, because his hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all of his devotees. By the touch of Lord Narasimhadev's hand on Prahlad Maharaj's head, Prahlad was completely freed from all material contaminations and desires, as if he was thoroughly cleansed. Therefore, he at once became transcendentally situated, and all the symptoms of ecstasy became manifest in his body. His heart filled with love and his eyes with tears, and thus he was able to completely capture the lotus feet of the Lord within the innermost core of his heart. And then Prahlad fixed his mind and sight upon Lord Narasimhadev with full attention and concentration in complete trance, and with a fixed mind he began to offer the following prayers in love and in a faltering voice. So this is the background to today's chapter. Today's discussion, that is, Prahlad has been able to do what nobody else has been able to do. It's a great achievement. Lord is very angry and great demigods are not able to satisfy and please him. And small boy Prahlad goes and appeases the Lord. So we can see how Prahlad is a perfect devotee. He is completely fearless of the Lord's ferocious form. And he goes in front of the Lord. And now he is about to offer some of the most beautiful prayers ever spoken or heard in the history of this creation. And we are going to discuss these prayers because we all want to follow the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is the best example for always remembering Krishna. There are 9 processes of devotional service: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Spananam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. Hearing about Krishna, chanting Krishna's names, serving Krishna's lotus feet, being servant of Krishna. And there are one devotee who stands as a perfect example for each of these 9 processes. And for Smaranam, for remembering Krishna, the acharyas have given the perfect example is Prahlad. So if we chant his prayers, we will also be able to remember Krishna. And ultimately, what is our goal in Krishna consciousness? We are following so many rules, regulations. We are coming to temple. So many things we are doing in devotional service. Rupa Goswami has said 64 items of devotional service we have to practice. But he says the essence of all of this is what? Ultimately, what is the essence? Lag baat ki ek baat. What is that essence? Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. This is the goal of every sadhaka. We have to always remember Krishna. And what better example than Prahlad Maharaj, who never forgot Krishna. So, we are very fortunate that we can discuss the prayers of such a great Mahajan, Prahlad Maharaj. And we can also follow his footsteps. And most importantly, we can learn now how to pray and what to pray for. Many times we don't even know what to pray to the Lord and how to pray. And Srimad Bhagavatam contains Gajendra's prayers, Dhruv Maharaj, Kunti Devi, Parikshit Maharaj, so many great devotees. So by hearing and reading and chanting these prayers, when we come in front of Radha Gopinath, we know what to pray for. We know how to pray. Generally when we read pastimes, we rush through the prayer section because there is not much action. You know, like Kaliya being subdued by Krishna, we relish. But the Nagapatnis offer some of the most beautiful prayers, but we want to rush through. But these prayers are very important. And they help us not only learn how to pray, these prayers also reveal the substance of the character of Prahlad Maharaj. What is his character? We can see. Because this is a paradigm shift for most of us who have been trained since childhood. I don't think many of us have been trained from childhood if we are assuming that we were not devotees, our parents were not devotees as such. I don't think many of us have been trained to pray to Krishna for pure devotional service. But Prahlad is asking for that. And very rarely in India or anywhere in the world you will find somebody being trained to pray to God. Oh God, please let me please you. That is my only goal. But that was Prahlad's goal. Srila Prabhupada was traveling from Vishakhapatnam to Nellore one time in the train. And Prabhupada was along with these foreigner disciples who were shaven-headed in dhoti kurta. And two gentlemen who were in the next compartment, they came to know that Swami Prabhupada is here. Wow, great, ISKCON leader, guru. We should go and take Ashirvad from him. So they came in. And they said, Swamiji, please give Ashirvad. Please give blessings. And Prabhupada startled them by asking, what blessing you want? They were not prepared for that. So they said, oh Swamiji, you know, I have this arthritis problem. So you please bless me that my arthritis problem goes away. And Prabhupada gave a disgusting look. Actually, it was a compassionate look. Is this what you're praying? Is this what blessing you want? And then they could feel the vibes because they were sitting with there are other foreigner disciples and they were also looking at these two gentlemen. What are you asking for from a pure devotee of Krishna? You're asking for problem from arthritis. So they realized that they had asked for a very stupid blessing. So, but they didn't know what is ideal. So then immediately the other man said, actually, you know, arthritis is not the issue. Actually, what we wanted to pray is, actually, my grandmother, no, she's very sick. So you please pray for her that she becomes all right. Again, Prabhupada said, this is the prayer, this is the blessing you're asking. And then they again realized that this is not the good prayer to ask. So then they were fumbling. They didn't know what to ask because they had never conceived of pure devotional service. So they said, actually, we are praying. We want your blessing for that the whole world becomes happy. they were artificially trying to pray. And then Prabhupada and all the disciples, they were looking at these two gentlemen and they were fumbling and, you know, they were not able to coherently express. And then Prabhupada said, pointing to his foreign disciples who had renounced everything, were shaven-headed in dhoti kurta, Prabhupada told these two gentlemen, if I give your blessings, you will become like them. You want? And immediately they excuse themselves. Oh, thank you, Swamiji, we will go. They left. And as soon as they left the compartment, Prabhupada and all the devotees, they started laughing loudly. And Prabhupada said, this is the problem in India. Everybody is looking for Ashirvad Baba. So they think I am also Ashirvad Baba. Basically, then Prabhupada said, basically people go to Sadhu because they think Sadhu is a cheap doctor. They want an alternative for a doctor. But when we read Srimad Bhagavatam and when we hear from Srila Prabhupada, we see that prayers and blessings are of a different dimension altogether. We can't even conceive. So when we see Prahlad's prayers, they are expressions of many things. We have taken 4 points. Prahlad's prayers reveal deep humility. This is the first expression Prahlad Maharaj is offering. Humility basically is begging for forgiveness from the Lord and is expressing his disqualification. Although we heard just now, he is the most qualified. He did what nobody else could do. And he feels that he is most unqualified. This is the first expression. And then he expresses gratitude to the Lord. He is very grateful to Krishna, Lord Narasimhadev, for giving darshan like this. And then, after expressing gratitude and humility, he also glorifies the Lord in choice poetry. The Lord's wonderful qualities he glorifies. And then finally comes the benediction part, blessings part, Ashirvad. And that too, he doesn't want anything material. The Lord forces him to take. He says, I don't want to be a businessman with you, my dear Lord. I don't want to be a merchant. Lord says, no, you should take. So Lord forces him to take blessings. Actually, this is very interesting because of 3 reasons. First is, Prahlad is teaching us that when we come in front of the Lord, it's not that we directly come and ask for blessings. Give me this, give me that, give me this. When we come in front of Krishna, we should also first express humility, glorify the Lord, express gratitude for what he has already given us, and then we can ask, if at all we want to ask. But generally we come and we have a big chit in our paper, we remove it, Amari mange, puri karo, have so many desires, please fulfill them, my dear Lord, we directly start. No, but we have to first, this is the protocol Prahlad Maharaj is teaching us. We have to glorify the Lord, express gratitude and then. And secondly, we can see very interesting, Prahlad is offering prayers after the Lord is satisfied, problem is solved, Hiranyakashipu is killed and Narasimhadev is also satisfied. Now actually it is the time to celebrate and party. Generally in the material world, people are, if at all they pray very intensely before a crisis or during a crisis. Before success, they pray intensely. But once everything goes our way, then there is kind of an intoxication. We can't pray intensely to the Lord. But here we see Prahlad is praying most intensely after the event. We have Kunti Devi also, similar. Pandavas have won the war. Yudhishthira Maharaj is now the king after so many years of hardships. Now is the time to celebrate. But she is offering most intense prayers after the event. Very, very important, because generally we may be intense sometimes in our prayers. We may spend a lot of time in front of the deities and offer prayers before some exam or something. And once we pass or once we get the results, then do we spend the same amount of time in front of the Lord? Do we actually offer prayers with the same intensity? So it's very important. Generally we see that we used to have this Tinkerbell school down. We used to see these boys and girls in school uniform. Lot of them would come during March. Exam time, they would all come for darshan in the morning before exams. During exam time, during politicians, they offer a lot of prayers before elections. And most of the Indians offer a lot of prayers before some important cricket match. It has been seen like this. It has been even before marriage. There's one story, it's a little embarrassing for me to share, but I should share. You know, once in 98 or 99, that time we had a different kind of Vyasasana. And we were sitting, two of us were sitting behind and doing something. And 4:30 afternoon, that time nobody used to come to the temple. One young couple came, one boy and girl, college students. And they stood right in front of the deities and the pujari was doing aarti. He didn't know what is going to happen. And nobody else in the temple hall. And they didn't know that we are here. And they were very restless, both of them. They're looking here and there, up, down. So I told the other devotee, something is going to happen now. They're very, they're very scared, it seems. And then what they did was unprecedented and most shocking. This boy, he had a big plastic bag. He opened it and took out two huge, thick garlands and gave one to the girl and he held one. He put it on her, she put it on him. Then he had a dabba with some red powder, he put it on her forehead. Then they both paid obeisances to the Lord. They got up, then they exchanged the garlands. Then again they took off their garlands and put it back in the plastic bag and they stood as if nothing had happened. And they were standing like this. And after a few seconds, again, they started looking everywhere, up and down, you know, hoping that nobody had seen. And we were controlling our laughter. Maybe this was the fastest, you know, Guinness Book of World Record marriage. 1 minute, marriage ceremony over. So then they stood intensely praying. Then we had other things to do. So we got up and the devotee was giving Laddu Prasad. We told him what had happened. By that time he came. So these couple were going back and this devotee with a mischievous grin, he just told them, as he gave the laddu, he said, Shadi Mubarak ho. They were shocked, they ran off. So this is material world. Intense prayers in a crisis time or So people pray intensely. They need so many things from Krishna. Of course, it's good we go to Krishna for whatever we want. But generally, when we get something, we are not so intense. When we get success, or when we get what we really want in life. But we see Prahlad Maharaj is on the pinnacle of success and is offering the most intense prayers. For these two striking qualities, we can see, striking features of these prayers. First is, he is not immediately asking for benediction. He is glorifying the Lord. And secondly, he is asking or he is offering prayers after a major catastrophe has been solved. And thirdly, very important, Prahlad Maharaj is praying and asking for pure devotional service. He doesn't want material benefits at all. These are three very important points. So we'll take the first. We'll go ahead with the prayers. We have discussed till verse number 7. Now, first prayer that Prahlad Maharaj offers, we'll discuss that. Prahlad Uvacha Brahmadaya Suragana Munayota Siddha Satve Katanagatayo Vachasam Pravahe Naraditum Puruguner Aduna Pipipru Kimtoshtumarhati Same Harirugrajate. Prahlad Maharaj prayed. Now he's going to pray after it has been shown to the whole world that he has done what nobody else has been able to do. He has satisfied the Lord. He has made the Lord's anger vanish. And he is now beginning his prayer by saying, my dear Lord, how can I offer prayers to you? I am born in a family of asuras. Until now, all the great demigods headed by Lord Brahma, and they are all saintly persons, they were not able to satisfy with stream of excellent poetry. They have offered excellent prayers. And still you are not satisfied. But I am most unqualified. I am Ugrajate. I am from the lowest of species. So how can I offer prayers to you? This is how he begins. Expressing his disqualification. Prabhupada quotes in the purport, Kaviraj Goswami, the greatest of all poets, he says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, जगाई मदाई होते मुई से पापिष्ट पुरी शेरा कीटा होते मुई से लागिष्ट. माय डियर लॉर्ड आई एम मोर सिनफुल देन जगाई एंड मदाई. आई एम वर्स देन अ वर्म पुरी शेरा कीटा. आई एम वर्स देन अ वर्म इन द स्टूल. दैट रिक्वायर्स ट्रेमेंडस अमाउंट ऑफ ह्यूमिलिटी. And Prabhupada quotes in the purport, Trinadapi Sunichena verse, and says one should not be falsely proud of being a devotee. And he concludes the purport by saying, unless one is meek and humble, spiritual life, spiritual progress is not possible. We can't progress in spiritual life unless we humble ourselves in front of the Lord and devotees. So this comes out very strikingly here in this prayer of Prahlad Maharaj. Therefore, it's very important that when we come in front of the Lord and devotees, we actually, not just when we come in front of them, we are always in this mood that I am not qualified. I have been given blessings, causeless mercy. Actually, Prahlad could have easily felt he is the most special because he's actually done what nobody else has been able to do. Generally, if we are insignificant externally, let's say the spiritual master doesn't know us, you are some insignificant devotee, it's easy to feel disqualified. But if we have a lot of prominence, and if we are honored, and if we are well known, and then to be humble, that is very difficult. That's what Prahlad Maharaj is revealing. He is actually in a very glorious position, and simultaneously is feeling most fallen. That's very difficult. To feel fallen when nobody knows you and we are struggling and we are not able to chant properly. Okay, we know we are fallen. But when you are honored and worshipped and then to feel fallen is very difficult. Because even as devotees, many times we may express that I am fallen, but we may feel I am a very special devotee. Subconsciously we may feel. Because from childhood, if you see, even when we pray to God, even though we are religious, we have been trained to be somebody important in life. We have been trained to be a special, trained to be a go-getter, you know, be somebody important and prominent in this world. So for us to actually feel I am not an advanced person is very difficult. Even when we are praying to God, I am an important devotee here. Like, you know, we used to see when we were children, every Ganesh Utsav, one song would always come on TV. So this hero would be singing that, oh Ganpati ji, you are the greatest amongst gods. Tumse badkar kaun? But amongst devotees, humse badkar kaun? Bhakt jano mein humse badkar kaun? So he likes to say, he prays, I am the greatest devotee. And Ganpati is somewhere in the corner at that time. So it's not easy to present oneself as fallen. Actually, many times you may glorify God also, but the glorification of God as the Anant Koti Brahmand Nayak or whatever glorification sometimes is what is tacit, what is hidden behind that is our own glorification. Like I used to see, this is bona fide, genuine, Lal Bagh area, they have a very nice big Ganpati every year, Lal Bagh Ka Raja, they call him. But I saw many other places trying to compete and they used to have a bigger Ganpati. And they used to call it, I saw in Borivali that, Borivali ka Maharaja, they wanted to be, you know, and Daisar, I saw Daisar ka Badshah, they had put. So, I remember one Ganesh Utsav, I actually saw this, one small lane, two Ganpati groups were going to for Visarjan, and there was a jam, traffic jam, because both are arguing, who will go first. So they didn't say, I want to go first. They said, Amara Ganpati pahle jayega. Nahi, Amara Ganpati jayega. So basically, it's a false ego. So we won't say that I am greatest. So it's not easy to consider oneself as fallen. I'm speaking this for myself. Very difficult. My religion is best. If Krishna consciousness philosophy is best. Gaudiya Vaishnava is best. What is implicit within that is I am best because I am following it. I'm sure all of us have seen this during Ganesh Utsav. You'll see, you know, in all those posters everywhere, Ganesh Bhaktanche Hardik Swagat. And what you'll see there is all photographs of politicians. You've seen? Once I counted, there were 24 photographs you know, some secretary, treasurer, everybody of that political party was there. And last, in right-hand corner, there was one small Ganpati photo also. Ganpati Utsav. So, politicians, everybody tries to make mileage out of this. So, this is the sad reality of modern times, that even when we approach God, there is a strong feeling that I am somebody special. But if you see Prahlad's prayers, what he prays in further verses, like you see here what he's saying, this is really amazing. He says, my dear Lord, my mind is extremely sinful and lusty. 5-year-old boy Prahlad, pure devotee, is calling himself as lusty. I am sometimes happy, sometimes distressed. My mind is full of lamentation and fear. And I want more and more money. So my mind is therefore, my dear Lord, completely polluted and is never satisfied. I am most fallen. I am most poor. How can I ever glorify you adequately? And then in the further verses he says, my dear Lord, my position is like that of a person who has many wives, all trying to attract him in their own way. My dear Lord, my tongue is attracted to palatable dishes, genitals attracted to sex, and the sense of touch to contacts of things. The belly, although filled, still wants to eat more and more. And the ear, not attempting to hear about you, is generally attracted to cinema songs. Prabhupada translates like this. The sense of smell is attracted to yet another side. The restless eyes are attracted to scenes of sense gratification. In this way, I am most embarrassed. My dear Lord, you are always transcendently situated on the other side of the river of death. Please look upon me most mercifully. Please be compassionate on me. I have fallen into this ocean of birth and death. I am suffering. You are the friend of all suffering humanity. Please be merciful to me. Please be merciful to this foolish person. He calls himself as foolish. So it's amazing, isn't it? The way he's praying. He's calling himself as fallen in a series of prayers. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that Prahlad Maharaj is representing himself as a common man. Although he is actually very advanced. Our problem could be ulta. We may be actually most common, insignificant. We may present ourselves as most advanced. That's possible. Or, you know, what they call the pure devotee syndrome. So somebody may ask, how are you, Prabhu? We could say, I'm fine or struggling. Prabhu, I am in Maya. No, Prabhu, the other devotee says, no, Prabhu, you are actually advanced. No, Prabhu, you are advanced. I am in Maya. No, Prabhu, you are in Yog Maya. I am in Maha Maya. So, typical devotee conversations, you know. Oh, Prabhu. And then, if you ask a new person sometimes, what is your name? And he has heard a little bit philosophy and he will smile and he will say, name, Prabhu. The name of this body is so and so. So, we may present ourselves. One devotee showed me an email that he got. You know, generally we write, in letters we write, aspiring to be a servant, so and so das, your servant. For this person had written, the great enthusiastic devotion, aspiring to be the slave of your slaves. So, of course, somebody may say, no, but this devotee may be genuinely feeling like that I am fallen. Yes. Even if a devotee, even if we genuinely feel I am fallen, we should know, that is not actually humility. That is actually, of course, it's humility in the sense Krishna is happy that we are expressing ourselves like that. But actually, if you see, when we tell the Lord that I am fallen, my dear Lord, more than being humble, we are being honest. It is honesty. But when Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Acharya say, I am fallen, they are actually very advanced. That is humility. So this is a very interesting understanding. Prahlad Maharaj actually had earlier spoken heavy philosophy to his father. He had told his father, Andha yatande rupaniyamana, blind following the blind. Puna puna charvita charvanana, my dear father, you are chewing that which has already been chewed. Vanam gato yad arimashrayata, go to the forest. Spoke heavy philosophy, but didn't compromise on the philosophy, but also at the same time, very humble. Sometimes when we speak the best philosophy, because we have the best philosophy, we may subconsciously think, because our philosophy is the best, I am also best. Actually, one Srila Prabhupada disciple, out of his humility, was saying, when he was a new devotee, He just came to Hare Krishna. He had a hippie background. He had long hair. And he was sitting in the audience and the speaker was speaking on Lord Chaitanya. So the class was very attractive. But because he was new and this feeling of being controller, great. So he was thinking, oh, they are actually talking about me. I am Chaitanya. He was feeling like that. And when the kirtan was going on and he was dancing, he was actually feeling, he's saying, I was feeling that now they will realize that I am Lord Chaitanya. So this could be very, very deep rooted. Therefore, when we are repeating these prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, we have to make these prayers our own prayers. In the sense, we should not mechanically repeat these prayers. As we are chanting these prayers, we should invest our feelings into those prayers. Our personal feelings and expressions of disqualification. Like for example, Radhana Swami Maharaj gave a nice example. He said, sometimes somebody is giving a class or somebody is speaking about forest fire or you are reading about Krishna devouring the forest fire. So how do we make it personal? By investing our feelings into it. So he said, so if you are hearing a class and somebody is speaking that Krishna is devouring the forest fire, he told his coward boyfriends, close your eyes and I will devour the forest fire. And then Maharaj said, that time you should think, oh Krishna, I am also suffering in this forest fire. I am burning by the anarthas. Please help me. And then that prayer becomes our prayer. Satsarup Maharaj writes in his book, Entering the Life of a Prayer, he writes there, we should not hide behind the Acharya's prayers. Now, Acharya's prayers we may quote, left, right and center, that is very good, that is purifying. But we should not hide behind those prayers. In the sense, we should not absolve ourselves of the responsibility of actually expressing to Krishna how fallen I am, actually. That is also very important. Because at least one thing we can be guaranteed, there are many things in our lives which only Krishna knows and we know. All of us have some dark side or secrets or whatever. At least we can be grateful to Krishna for those things. Krishna, thank you so much. You know, I am so fallen, you know that. So we can express ourselves like that. And we can be humble by knowing our level. And sometimes devotees also say that, okay, I am fallen and Krishna knows it. But why do I have to go and tell Krishna? I mean, Krishna already knows I am fallen. Why do I need to actually intensely pray? Because relationship means reciprocation. If we actually claim to love God, then that should be a reciprocation. We should express how fallen we are. Krishna becomes very happy. He sees that, oh, this person is fallen, but is coming and expressing it. Krishna wants to see us actually take a humble position. So this is very important. Prahlad Maharaj has got what nobody else has got. Such choices, blessings. Lord Narasimhadev rubbed his head with great affection and love. This kind of mercy nobody got. Even Lakshmiji has not got. Prahlad is the most fortunate. Actually, if you see in one sense, even we in Hare Krishna, ISKCON devotees also, in one sense, we are fortunate like Prahlad Maharaj. We are getting what no demigods have got. We are getting Braja Prem. We are getting love for Krishna like the Vrindavan residents. The highest we are getting. So sometimes we may think we are qualified for it. Srila Prabhupada was walking in Vrindavan temple area and that Vishal Prabhu, he started, when Prabhupada was coming, he started shouting, Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Vrindavan Dham ki jai. So Prabhupada saw, looked at his intense Vrindavan Dham ki jai and Prabhupada said, oh, you like Vrindavan? And he said, yes, Prabhupada, Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Great happiness he was chanting. And Prabhupada said, you love Vrindavan? Then take it. Take Vrindavan. So Dinbandhu Prabhu says that Prabhupada, with a flick of his finger, he gave Vrindavan, a representative of Lord Chaitanya. That Vrindavan which great demigods cannot understand. And Uddhava aspires to be a creeper at the outskirts of Vrindavan so that the Braja Gopis can trample him. So that he can get the dust from their lotus feet. That Vrindavan which is most confidential, ISKCON devotees have access because of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada, who is his pure representative. So, it's irony. Kali Yuga products, we are most unqualified, most fallen. We should get some grace marks so that we can do some spirituality. And here we are getting the highest. I mean, it's unheard of. In school or college, if somebody is really dumb, and some of you give him grace marks. He can't even get 35. You give him 20, then 1 mark. Some 35, 36, pass him. But But have you ever heard of a college or an institution where somebody is really dumb and is really bad, and instead of being given a few grace marks, he is given distinction? This is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. It's full mercy, mercy movement. So therefore, we should know that we have got the highest benediction, and therefore, for those whom much is given, a lot is expected also. So we have been given this rare gift. So we have to be very cautious and humble and know that we are not qualified for this. And Prahlad Maharaj is teaching us this quality of humility. So this is the first quality we learn after seeing Prahlad Maharaj's prayers. The humility that we need to have when we come in front of the Lord. Now there are some people who are externally very humble. In the sense, they may always condemn themselves. But that is going to the other extreme. That is not humility. That is maybe inferiority complex or a frustrated false ego. I am fallen. I am bad. I. That I is very big, capital. It's actually ultimately I conscious only. I am fallen. Therefore, humility doesn't mean simply keep condemning ourselves. We have to know our fallen position. At the same time, real humility is when there is simultaneous glorification of the Lord. And that's what Prahlad Maharaj does. He just doesn't simply stop with his condemning his own existence. He glorifies the Lord also immediately. Otherwise it's frustration, isn't it? You keep saying you are fallen, but there is no Krishna connection. So when you glorify Krishna, there is happiness. That's what Acharyas have shown. Classic example is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He calls himself in such, you know, derogatory terms. He calls himself a donkey, an ass who is carrying a burden. Se gada hoye, samsare ra bhoja, bainu aneka kala. I am carrying the samsar bhoja in my head. And he says, manye pagal mora. He says, my mind is mad. Namane shasan sada chetan, vishayero eche gora. Gopinath, he is praying to Gopinath. Ami to kamera das, vishaya vasana. Jagi che rudoye, fadi che karama fas. He calls himself as Kamer Das. I am servant of lust. Vishaya vasana, all the lusty desires are coming up in my heart. They have strangled me. I am suffering, my dear Lord. But same Bhaktivinoda Thakur, condemning himself, simultaneously also glorifies the Lord. Radha Krishna Pranamura Jugala Kishore. He is celebrating the festival. Dayal Nitai Chaitanya Bole Nachreya Marman. So he's saying, oh, Lord Nityananda and Chaitanya are most merciful. Nachreya Marman, Nachreya Marman. Dayal Nitai Chaitanya Bole Nachreya Marman. He's saying, my dear mind, dance. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have appeared. This is celebration. This is festival. So it's not that we simply keep condemning ourselves. Along with knowing our fallen state, we should also glorify Krishna and express our fallen condition to Krishna. Not just brood over and allow it to become a case of frustrated false ego. So that's what Prahlad is doing. Prahlad Maharaj is here, we are seeing, is offering beautiful prayers, glorifying the Lord's transcendental quality. There are many things, we don't have much time. We'll just take a few qualities of the Lord that he glorifies, which are very inspiring. So we can also, when we come in front of the Lord, glorify the Lord for having these qualities. So the first quality he says is, Lord, you never go by externals. You look for the essence, bhakti. Then he says, my dear Lord, you are most self-satisfied. Then he says, if we glorify you, my dear Lord, we get purified. For our purification, we have to glorify you. And then he says, you are appearing in all these different forms for your own pastime. This is your pastime going on. Like this, he offers wonderful prayers. Like you can take the first one where he is offering the next verse after the last one that we discussed. So he is revealing the Lord's quality.
Manye dhanabijana rupa tapashrutaujas teja prabhava balapaurushabuddhi yoga. Naradhanaya hi bhavanti parasya pumso bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gajayuta paya.
He's saying, my dear Lord, one may possess lot of wealth, aristocratic family, beauty, austerity, education, sensory expertise, lustre, influence, physical strength, diligence, intelligence, mystic yogic power. but still, by all these qualifications, one cannot satisfy you. However, if somebody simply has bhakti, bhaktya tutosha bhagavan, gajayutapaya, gajendra, an animal, an elephant could please you because he didn't have all these qualities, but he had bhakti. So you are pleased only by bhakti. And then Prahlad says, if a Brahman has all 12 of the Brahmanical qualifications, but is averse to your lotus feet, then he is not dear to you. But somebody could be born in a dog-eating family, dog-eater family. Padaravinda vimukat shapacham varishtam. That person is varishta. A dog-eater is better if he is actually wanting to love you. He has a desire to serve you. Because one who is falsely proud cannot even purify himself. What to speak of his whole family. So like that, Prahlad is revealing the Lord's amazing quality about how the Lord never goes by externals. He is the ideal hero to be worshipped. Because he reciprocates. Prahlad says you reciprocate with everyone. Even with an elephant you have reciprocated. So this is the first glorification of Lord that Prahlad is doing. That Lord is the best person, ideal hero. If you want to do hero worship, the ideal hero to be worshipped is Lord Krishna, Lord Narasimhadev. Because he reciprocates with all his fans, with all his devotees if they are sincere. Because you see, sometimes people may think, oh, if you want to love Krishna, love God, you have to be very gentlemanly, cultured. No. What was the culture of Mrigari? Mrigari was a hunter. Valmiki was a hunter. But they became dear to Krishna. Somebody may say, oh, to please Krishna, you have to be grown up, mature. No. What was Dhruva Maharaj's maturity and age? He was a young boy. Somebody may say, you should be learned and educated to please Krishna. But Gajendra was not learned and educated. Somebody may say, oh, somebody has to be very beautiful to please Krishna. No, Kubja, she was not beautiful. She was a hunchback lady. Somebody may say, oh, Krishna will be happy if you have a lot of money. No, Sudama, what money did he have? Somebody may say, no, if you want to please Krishna, you should be born in an aristocratic family. But Vidura was not born in an aristocratic family. His mother was a Shudrani. And somebody may say, physical prowess you need to have. But Ugrasen didn't have physical prowess. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, Bhaktir tushyati kevalam nacha ganeir, Bhaktir priya madhavam. Only bhakti is pleasing to Krishna. And that is what Prahlad is revealing. So this is very, very important that we forget Krishna, who is such an excellent example of a person who reciprocates with his devotees, and we do some hero worship of this world. We remember, instead of remembering Krishna, like Prahlad Maharaj is teaching us, we remember some film star or sports star. And they don't care for you or me. First of all, they don't know us. You remember some film star or a sports star intensely. But do they also remember you like that? Sometimes, you know, we are in this illusion. Just because I am thinking of someone very intensely, we assume subconsciously that the other person may also be thinking about me. No, but material world, nobody thinks about us like that. But Krishna is not like that. You have a sincere, small desire to love him. You occupy Krishna's mind. So, in this material world, nobody knows that you love some star. And even if they know, do they care? There are thousands of fans. They won't care for you. And even if they know and if they care, can they really help you much? They will also become old. They will be washed away by the waves of time. There was this great boxer, Muhammad Ali. When he was a young boy, he liked another boxer, Sugar Robinson. So he went to this boxer and took autograph. But this great boxer, he had no time. You know, a very famous man. He said, you kid, get lost. I have no time. So this Muhammad Ali became so hurt and he took a vow. He said, one day I will become a great boxer and I will never disappoint any of my fans. I will give autograph always. And he did that. Today his name is in the Guinness record for the maximum number of autographs anybody has given is he. Maybe he's stopping people also and giving. I'll give. He wants to give. But what is his situation? He's old, he's about to die and after some time he will be gone. And new stars will dance on the stage of time. The older ones were still alive, they will be somewhere in the backstage nursing their wounds inflicted by time. Nobody cares. Everybody is gone, tossed by the waves of time. But Krishna is not like that. When we express our love to Krishna, Krishna reciprocates. I remember one instance when I was a teenager, I used to like one cricket player very much, and my room was a dedication for his glorious activities. He was a writer also, so I had collected all his articles, all his photographs. And believe it or not, one day, we were staying close to the temple, near Cuff Parade. And one day when I came down out of the house, I was shocked. Actually, this man was standing there right in front of me. I rubbed my eyes in disbelief. I said, he's actually standing. I ran to him with great hope. Because, you know, I had 1,000 things to tell him. You know, after all, I thought I was his greatest fan. So I ran and I started blabbering and I was really excited, but I saw he was completely disinterested. He gave a very, you know, a formal smile and then he was looking here and there. I felt so insignificant. But because he was looking distracted, I asked him, do you want something? I had that seva bhav towards him. So he said, yeah, I'm looking for a taxi. So I said, yeah, I will get you. I ran to get a taxi and I got one taxi. And by the time I came in the taxi, I saw he was sitting on another taxi and he was gone. And the deluge of Mumbai traffic, you know, soon. I was like, just looking at the taxi, focused. But he was gone. And then I sat down, realizing that this is a once in a lifetime experience. But at the same time, the harsh reality dawned on me that I am nothing. I am nobody, you know. So this is the hero. These are the heroes of this world. We worship, we remember. They don't care. But Krishna, Gajendra, or whether it is somebody in some Jumri Talaya, some remote village, or somebody, a great star, anyone who loves Krishna sincerely, with a desire to serve, just a desire to serve, Krishna reciprocates. So this is a classic example Prahlad is quoting of Gajendra, the elephant. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, one of our dear friends, he gave a very nice statement. He said, our problem is in this material world, we remember those who never remember us. And we forget that person who never forgets us. Krishna never forgets us, but we forget him. So this is very, very instructive that we take shelter of Krishna and remember him. And when we remember Krishna, there is freshness in our lives. Our life becomes meaningful, happy. There is a story we heard a few years back about Ratnaranjini Mataji. When she had this brain tumor and she used to get these fits. And doctor said any of the fits could be her last one. Intense pain she would go through. So in one of those fits, the devotees thought that she's going to die now. She was just screaming and body was trembling like a leaf in a storm. She was just going berserk. And everybody was intensely chanting, thinking that she is now dying. She is leaving her body. But somehow, that fit she survived. That particular fit. And generally she would be exhausted. So she collapsed after that whole experience. But while collapsing, she said, thank you Krishna, thank you. And then she collapsed. And then when she came back to consciousness, she had such an effulgence on her face. So the devotees asked, what happened? She said, I went through that amazing, terrible fitness. But throughout the whole experience of that 5-10 minutes, I was just getting the vision of Radha Shyam Sundar. Vrindavan. I was just seeing them. Constantly I was seeing them. So we would think externally, you know, how can you remember Krishna at that time? We can't remember, but Krishna enters our consciousness. So you may see some devotee is leaving his body, he may be struggling to breathe. But we don't know. Krishna may be giving him a special vision. And that's what actually happens with sincere devotees. Ratnaranjani Mataji proved it. So if we express our desire to love Krishna, Krishna immediately reciprocates. So this is very, very important for us. Sometimes we also feel, you know, I have no access to spiritual master. I have no access to Krishna. No, but if we are sincere, if we have a desire, Krishna reciprocates. Like Srila Prabhupada was once told by a devotee in San Francisco. Prabhupada was leaving San Francisco and coming to India. And devotees were crying, Prabhupada, how will we live? You know, you are going to India. We are so far away. Prabhupada said, no, the spiritual master is never far away. Prabhupada said, you chant Hare Krishna here sincerely. I will be chanting in India and all of us will be packed up together. The holy name will pack us up together. We will be together always. So Krishna, Guru, reciprocation and mercy is there. We just have to have a desire to love. So this is the quality first quality about Krishna that Prahlad Maharaj is revealing. Lord is, He always reciprocates. He never fails to reciprocate. Another quality of Lord Narasimhadev that Prahlad Maharaj is revealing is how the Lord is self-satisfied. Lord doesn't want anything from us. It's not that when we do some service, we are going to benefit the Lord. It's not that when we surrender to Lord, because Lord needs many servants, so he's telling Sarvadharman Parityajya, surrender. Prabhupada writes in one place, Krishna is not in shortage of servants. Prahlad Maharaj is saying here that Lord, you are self-satisfied. Naivatmana prabhurayam nijalabha purno manam janada vidusha karuno vrinite yadyajjano bhagavate vidadita manam tachatmane pratimukhasya yatha mukashri. My dear Lord, you are fully satisfied with yourself. Therefore, when something is offered to you, the offering by your mercy is for the benefit of the devotee. Because the Lord does not need service from anyone. So he gives an example. Prahlad Maharaj gives an example. Tachatmane pratimukhasya yatha mukashri. If one's face is decorated, the reflection of one's face in a mirror is also seen to be decorated. So if you want to decorate your face, you will not go to the mirror and decorate the reflection. You will decorate the face and the reflection automatically looks good. So he says, my dear Lord, you are like the face and the living entity is like a reflection of the Lord. So the living entity has to be happy, he has to serve the Lord. And that is the secret of happiness. Actually, as devotees, we may reach a plateau after some time. We may find all yatras are same. We go to same places actually eventually. Vrindavan, Puri, everything is same. Same holy name, same festivals. And then we may not experience the taste in Krishna consciousness. So that is the time when we have to jump or we have to raise our level by being conscious of wanting to give pleasure to Krishna's transcendental senses. Outside world, everybody wants to be happy and there is frustration. When we come to Hare Krishna, we are happy because it's new. Many things are new also. First time we're going to Vrindavan, first time Mayapur. But then after some years, even that becomes, in one sense, externally same. But if we cultivate this consciousness that, my dear Lord, I want to please your senses. I want to know if this act will please you. So in that, when we cultivate that consciousness, then automatically the living entity also becomes happy. It is like watering the root of the tree. It is like feeding the stomach. All the limbs of the body are also satisfied. Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur went to one extent. Once his disciple was eating Malpova Prasad. Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur asked him, you are enjoying the Malpova? He said, yes, Prabhupada. Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur said, you are enjoying the Malpova or the Malpova is enjoying you? The Malpova is supposed to enjoy you. Of course, it's very high level, but we can aspire to want to satisfy Krishna. Then, otherwise our problems will never end. If you see, our life is filled with my problems. I, me and mine are the three important words in our dictionary. Always my problems. Our problems will never end. And if you see, even psychiatrists, they have said that when people are really suffering with depression, one of the solutions they give is, you do some service. You remove the center, you remove the center as a self and put somebody else or Krishna as a center. We have to change our center. Even a small act of charity, if you see, if you are in the bus and if you offer a seat to someone, let's say some elderly lady or something like that, and then you feel little, whenever we extend ourselves, whenever we do that extra bit with a desire to be selfless, there is happiness. So imagine if we actually desire to serve Krishna with the supreme absolute truth, then there has to be happiness. It's like a formula, a chemistry formula, you know. Krishna, you know, in chemistry we have this formula. If you mix this and you mix this, then this reaction comes. So Krishna has given a formula in the Bhagavatam. You try to please the transcendental senses of me, Supreme Lord, and automatically you will be happy. Simple. So while chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna, I want to please you by this chanting. I want to serve you because I want to give pleasure to you. And immediately we see a drastic change in our consciousness. Rather a positive change in our consciousness. And we actually experience happiness. So therefore, we may have difficulties doing certain activities in devotional service, but we have to do it because that will give pleasure to Krishna. Like physical, you know, somebody goes to gymnasium and does a lot of work, you know, push-ups and dumbbells. So he's going against resistance. That is struggle. But he knows if he does, he'll get good biceps, good muscles, good physique. Similarly, you know, mentally we have to go against resistance. Intellectually, there is always struggle. Similarly, spiritually, if you have to advance, there has to be struggle. I don't like to do this, Krishna, but because you are pleased, I will do it for your pleasure. So we grow, our spiritual muscles grow. We actually experience happiness in Krishna consciousness. Because this is what we are doing in the spiritual world. What we are doing is this, like what we are seeing today in the altar. You know, dressing Gopalji or having Radha Govind in the altar. This is what we are doing in the spiritual world. Dressing Krishna, feeding Krishna, worshipping Krishna. Krishna is the center. But when we come to material world, we become the center. So instead of decorating Krishna, what happens to a child? You've seen a child growing up. You know, small child is sitting like this. And the mother will come, tie the shoelace, put prasad, food in the mouth. The child is just sitting like this. Child will also put the shirt, everything. Actually, this is what we are doing in the spiritual world. We are putting peacock feather on Krishna's forehead. We are decorating Krishna. But because we don't want to do that, we come to this material world and try to be Ishvara. So bhakti is a process where we try to change our consciousness to wanting to give pleasure to Krishna senses. So we have to decorate Krishna. We have Chandan Yatra for Krishna. So when we put Chandan on Krishna's transcendental body, devotee feels cool. He feels his lust melt away. Because that is the formula, that is the process of bhakti. Srila Prabhupada was in Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir. And Prabhupada came and he saw deity worship is excellent. Prabhupada said, wonderful deity worship. So I request all of you, continue like this. Continue worshipping the deities. Continue to make Krishna at the center. Decorate Krishna nicely. Dress Krishna nicely. Then you will be happy. Instead of Krishna, Prabhupada said, instead of Krishna, if you try to dress yourself and satisfy yourself, then Maya will undress you. And then you will become like a hippie. So Prabhupada said, when we try to satisfy ourselves, we are miserable. So this is the second quality of Krishna that he reveals. The Lord is self-satisfied and we serve Krishna. And we try to please Krishna, we are also happy. And then he reveals another very powerful tool for all of us sadhakas by glorifying Krishna. He says, my dear Lord, if we remember you, we will be happy. The purification of the living entity takes place when he remembers Krishna. This is also a very powerful verse where Prahlad Maharaj is saying, Tasmadaham vigata viklava ishvarasya sarvatmanamai grinami yatha manisham nicho jaya guna visargamanu pravishtha puyetaye nahi pumananu varnitena. He is saying, my dear Lord, I am born in a demoniac family. I am most fallen, but still I will offer prayers to you as far as my capacity is, as far as my intelligence allows. Because anyone who is forced to enter into ignorance of the material world can be purified of all material contamination if he simply remembers you and offers prayers to you. What a beautiful hope-giving statement. However fallen, we can never be so fallen that we cannot approach Krishna. Sometimes when we distribute books, people say, "Am to patit hai, am nahi aa sakte." No. However fallen we are, we can come to Krishna. And just by remembering Krishna and offering prayers, we can get purified. In the purport, Prabhupada says how to pray. Prabhupada is teaching. With devotion, a devotee should feel, God, you are great, I am very small. Therefore, my duty is to offer prayers to you. So, Radhana Swami Maharaj once gave a definition. Prayer means you go to Krishna and tell, Krishna, I was nothing, I am nothing, I will be nothing, but you are everything. So you please accept me. So this is the meaning of prayer. And this is what Prahlad, this is the third quality of Krishna. That if you simply remember Krishna, he purifies us. And this is the mantra we chant, especially during initiation also. Om apavitra pavitrova sarva vastam gatopiva yasmaret pundarikaksha. Simply by remembering Krishna, we become purified internally and externally. This remembrance of Krishna is very powerful. And Prahlad is constantly imploring devotees to remember Krishna. There are some religions, you know, which are called as the religions of the sword. Like they say, if you don't follow our religion, kill you. They are called as the religion of the sword. But if you carefully analyze, Prabhupada also gave us a religion of sword. And that sword is remembrance of Krishna. In the Bhagavatam, remembrance of Krishna is compared to a sword. Yad anudyasina yukta karma granti nibandhanam chindanti kovidastasya kona kuryat katharatim. Anudya means remembrance of Krishna is like asina, sword. What does this sword of remembrance of Krishna do in our lives? It cuts off what Prahlad is saying, guna visargam, the influence of the three modes is cut off by the sword of remembrance of Krishna. This is the power of this sword. Like we all accept there are these three modes, goodness, passion, ignorance, and we are like puppets, you know, controlled by these modes. Like for example, you are sitting in the bus and the bus is on a very bumpy road. Somebody in the mode of goodness will feel disturbed because he will say, "Arey, I'm not able to read, I'm not able to chant," whatever. Somebody is in the mode of good. The same bus, same situation, different modes, how they act. Somebody in the mode of passion will think, "Oh, I'm missing my girlfriend," or something like that. And somebody in the mode of ignorance, in the same bus, same spot, because of the bumpy road, he may be thinking, "Oh, I cannot sleep now. I need to sleep. It is disturbing me." So basically, different modes, people have different consciousness. They are like, we are like puppets, completely controlled. But if we can remember Krishna, exercise our free will, then Krishna will cut off these ropes of the influence of modes. How does it practically happen? Practically, what happens, for example, let's say we are feeling very passionate or we are in the mode of ignorance and very disturbing, the modes are pulling us. If at that moment we can remember Krishna, then that remembrance of Krishna fills our heart with the spiritual happiness, with some internal happiness. Because remembrance of Krishna is all pure. So when we remember Krishna, there is some inner happiness. And that happiness, that taste, gives us the strength to say no to the influence of the modes. So when the ignorance or passion is pulling us, if we can offer a prayer, if we can remember Krishna, then we get the strength to say no to the pullings. That is why it is compared to a sword. So we have to therefore glorify Krishna, remember Krishna.
अहो अहो बेर्न कलेर विधूयते सुधा सुधारा मधुरं पदे पदे दिने दिने चंदन चंद्र शीतलं यशो यशोदा तनयश्च गीयते.
Rupa Goswami says, in this Kaliyuga we are burning by the fire, the heat of lust and all the anarthas. It's scorching heat. And when you are suffering or when you are burning in heat, what do you need?
Sudha, sudhara, madhuram, pade, pade.
A refreshing lake which is filled with nectar. So we would like to dive into that lake and feel that coolness. So he is saying that we should look for that lake which is cooling when we are suffering the heat of material existence. Sudha, sudhara, madhuram, pade, pade. This lake is sweet. And what else?
Dine dine chandana chandra sheetalam.
It is cooling, not just like a lake, but also like a moon. Moon also is said to have very cooling rays. And dine dine chandana chandra sheetalam. It's sheetal, it's cold, not only like the moon, but also like chandan. What is that cooling experience? What is that experience or what is that process which gives us the cooling experience of like chandan or moon or a lake? And that is Yasho Yashoda Tanayascha Giyate. Glorification of Krishna, remembrance of Krishna constantly gives us relief from the pangs of material existence. So this is Prahlad Maharaj's suggestion or prayer that we should try to remember Krishna. And also he has many other prayers. He also says, "Oh my dear Lord, you have appeared. This is your transcendental pastime." There are many verses where he is glorifying this aspect. We should just briefly, I'll just mention this. He is saying, "My dear Lord, this Maya Shakti is caused by you and we are all trapped by this and there is no way we can get out of this." And then he gives a whole pastime of how the Lord created Brahma, how Brahma appeared and how Brahma was bewildered and then how he got knowledge from Lord Krishna. And then finally, he says how the Lord appears as a pastime, and in the last verse he says, Channa kaloyad abhavas triyugo tasattvam. My dear Lord, in Kaliyuga, you appear in a hidden form. So it appears that you are a triyuga. You come only in three yugas. But in Kaliyuga, you come, but you do not reveal yourself as Supreme Lord. And that is, we all know, is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So like this, is another quality of the Lord. He reveals how the Lord appears as a transcendental pastime. And also he expresses his gratitude to the Lord. So these are the few things he glorifies about Krishna. First is, he glorifies the Lord for his most wonderful quality of being, reciprocating with everyone, even if you have simply little desire. The second quality of Krishna that he glorifies, the Lord is self-satisfied. And third, we get purified if we can remember Krishna. And finally, we saw how he glorifies the Lord for appearing in various transcendental forms as a pastime. And now comes this interesting part about benedictions, blessings. What are the blessings that Lord Prahlad Maharaj asks? Prahlad Maharaj asks Lord Narasimhadev. He says, "My dear Lord, I am not afraid of your this ferocious form. You have a ferocious mouth and tongue. Your eyes are bright like the sun. Your frowning eyebrows, your sharp pinching teeth, your garland of intestines, your mane soaked with blood, your high wedge-like ears. I do not even fear your tumultuous roaring, which makes elephants flee to distant places. Nor do I fear your nails, which are meant to kill your enemies." So he is expressing to the Lord that I am not afraid of anything, but I am afraid of one thing. Very interesting. Now, this is about to ask benedictions from the Lord. So he expresses first like this, that I am not afraid of anything, but one thing I am afraid of. Trishto smaham kripanavat saladussahogra samsara chakra kadanat grasatam pranita baddhasva karma birushattamatengri moolam preeto pavarga sharanam vayase kadanu. My dear Lord, I have been put into the association of demons as a result of my past sinful activities. Therefore, I am very much afraid of material condition of life within this material world. So when will that moment come when you will free me from material existence and give me shelter at your lotus feet, which is the ultimate goal for all devotees, for all people? So he is expressing fear of material existence. This is the fear that Prahlad Maharaj has. We may be very comfortable in the material world. And in this verse, Prabhupada writes in the purport that Prahlad is not afraid of Lord's form. How? What is the logic? Prabhupada says, the water of the sea is dreadful for all the living entities on the land. But within the sea, even the small fish is unafraid. Because the small fish has taken shelter of the big ocean. It is said that great elephants are taken away by the flooding waters of a river. But the small fish can swim opposite the current. So this is another example Prabhupada gives. Lion is very fearsome for other animals, but for its cubs, the cubs are not at all afraid of the lion. So Prahlad is finding, he is taking shelter of Lord Narasimhadev, so he is not afraid of Lord Narasimhadev. But he is afraid of material existence. So the first prayer he is asking for is pure devotional service. I simply want devotional service. I don't want anything material. He makes it very clear. So when we ask for benedictions, this is the first benediction we can also aspire for. That we don't want anything to do with this material world. We just want pure devotional service. Somebody may say, how can a devotee be afraid? Actually, this fear is healthy. Even Gajendra, he reveals actually this fear is healthy. Yakaschanesho balinonta koragat prachanda vegat abhidhavato brisham bitam prapannam paripati yad bayan mrityu pradavat aranam tamimahi. That my dear Lord, I am afraid of this great serpent which is coming to devour me, the serpent of time. But I am taking shelter of you, because when the serpent sees you, the serpent will run away and you will be chasing the serpent. So that the shelter is you. So actually a devotee is afraid of material life and death, not because he is afraid of death, but he is afraid of forgetting Krishna at the time of death. That is the meaning of being afraid. When we say a devotee is fearful of material existence, devotee is actually not fearful like the karmis, but he is fearful of forgetting Krishna when the test comes. So devotee never wants to forget Krishna. But why a devotee should not aspire for material solutions? Why not have, we have to practice devotional service. Why not, along with pure devotional service, also aspire for material comforts in this material world? What is wrong in aspiring for that? Why can't we have material solutions to problems? Can we have material solutions to problems? So Prahlad Maharaj reveals that in the next verse. This is also a very powerful verse.
Yasmat priya priya viyoga sanyoga janma shokagnina sakalayo nishudayamana dukkha aushadam tadapi dukkham atadyaham bhuman brahmami vadame tavadasya yogam.
Oh my dear Lord, because of combination of pleasing and displeasing circumstances and because of separation from them, one is placed in most regrettable position within heavenly or hellish planets, as if burning in a fire of lamentation. Although there are many remedies by which to get out of miserable life, all such remedies in the material world are more miserable than the miseries themselves. Therefore, I think that the only remedy is to engage in your service. Only pure devotional service is the remedy, because all other solutions will create a bigger problem than the original problem. What is saying? Dukkha aushadam, what is that word? Dukkha aushadam tadapi dukkam atadyaham. The aushadi for dukkha creates bigger dukkha. So this is a very important point. In this material world, we see everywhere there is problem solving going on. Everybody is trying to solve problems. But these solutions are creating bigger problems. Earlier the problem was, we didn't want to walk. Walking problem was there. So they created automobiles, cars. Now because of so many vehicles, there is traffic pollution. There is carbon monoxide. There is no air to breathe. There is breathing problem. What is bigger problem? Walking problem or breathing problem? So there is no water to drink. We have very interesting modern society. We have luxuries. We have comforts but no necessities. We have latest iPods, latest electronic gadgets, computers, everything we have, but basic water, air is not there. Dukkha aushadam tadapi dukkham atadyaham, Prahlad Maharaj is saying. If you try to solve problems only materially, then we will not be happy. We have to aspire for pure devotional service. There was a man, a sadhu, who was climbing a mountain. His house was on the hill. He was struggling to walk. So he prayed, "Oh my dear Lord, please give me a horse." Hey Ram, he was praying to Lord Ram. Hey Ram, ek ghodi dila de, give me one horse. And to his surprise, one man was going with the horse. He felt compassionate. He felt compassionate on him. And he had a horse. And he saw this man is crying, "Hey Ram, ek ghodi dila de, give me a horse." So he gave his horse. He said, "Oh Sadhuji, you take this horse. You are elderly. You want solution for your problem." So this man took the horse and he sat on it and he felt relief. But after some time, the horse stopped walking. And he got off and he saw, what is the problem? The horse is not walking. Then he realized the horse was pregnant and she gave birth. And after the child was born, he was waiting. He had a long distance to travel. So he was waiting. The horse would not get up now because the horse was attached to the baby horse. So how to make this horse walk now? He was struggling, thinking, racking his brain. Finally, he got an idea. He picked up the baby horse, put it on his head and started walking. And what happened to the horse? The horse got up and started following him. And he said, "Wow, I'm so smart. I outwitted the horse. I made him walk." And he reached home and told his wife, "See how intelligent I am." And he explained the whole story to her. And she said, "You carried the horse followed you, but you are a donkey, you are a fool. You are carrying this. What was your goal? What was your agenda? You wanted to get relief. You wanted relief from the pain of walking and you got a horse, but you ended up carrying a baby horse. And your happiness is now in seeing that the horse is following you." This is actually material life. We desire happiness and we pursue some activity. And we see that we don't only get happiness from that, and then our happiness becomes in some trivial details of that activity. Like, you know, a person is traveling in the local trains from morning to night searching for happiness. There is no happiness in this world. So then his happiness becomes how to travel in an exciting way in the local train and then get happiness out of that. You see, people travel on the roof of the train or they hang on the doors. That becomes their happiness because the pursuit is not giving them. Or our happiness becomes in getting some better deal, getting some discount scheme and doing something smart in this world when the actual purpose is defeated. So it's very, very unfortunate that we always look for material solutions, but these material solutions do not solve the problem. They compound the problem worse. But somebody may say, okay, but still we have our family, we have our loved ones, we have our children, parents, material relationships are good, friends, society. Prahlad Maharaj says that they also cannot help. Very, very powerful statement. Prahlad Maharaj is revealing how material solutions cannot help and even material relationships cannot help. Because sometimes we think, you know, I have security, I have nice friends, I have nice society. Prahlad Maharaj says, Balasya neha sharanam pitaro narasimha nartasya chagadamudanvati majjato nau taptasya tat pratividdiryayanjaseshthas tavad vibho tanubhrutam vadupekshitanam. My dear Lord, because of bodily conception of life, the souls who neglect you, they cannot do anything for their betterment. Whatever remedies they accept, it may be temporarily beneficial, but certainly impermanent. For example, Balasya neha sharanam pitarau narasimha. Father and mother cannot protect their child. A physician and medicine cannot always guarantee relief for a suffering patient. And a boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man. This is a very powerful verse where he is revealing how we may have the best material arrangements, but that will not help us. That has limitation. Recently, one devotee, his father has got cancer, even the last stage, just diagnosed, and the doctor said 2 months to live. But the doctor said, don't tell him he has cancer because he is still active. Wait till I tell you when you should tell him. So this man, this devotee's father, doesn't know he has cancer, and he's being told he'll be alright because his senses are active. But every day the pain is increasing. So recently he told this devotee, I am thinking every day that tomorrow morning when I get up the pain will be less, but it is increasing more and more. Am I really going to become alright? So now the reality is dawning on him. In fact, last week, in 1 week, we heard, Govind Prabhu and we were sitting together, we heard in 1 week, 3 cases of people we knew who have cancer. And so many depression cases. This material world is nasty. It's a bizarre place. And material relationships cannot help us. Actually, there is a lecture Prabhupada gave on the same verse. Very powerful Balasaneya Sharanam verse in Mayapur in February 1976. In that lecture, Prabhupada says, you are proud of your medical advancement. You are creating so many hospitals. Then why don't you create a situation whereby there is no disease? Instead of creating so many hospitals, why don't you remove disease itself? That we cannot. Then in that lecture, Prabhupada gives a very, a story that shakes us up. Prabhupada says, there is a story of someone bird. And one father and mother bird, they had many children. And one day the hunter threw a nest and all the children birds were trapped. And the mother and father came. And the mother saw, all my birds, all my children are trapped in the nest. So the mother bird spontaneously jumped into the nest to protect her children and she also got trapped in the nest. And the father bird was about to jump also, but he realized, he waited. He saw, oh, all the children are gone. The mother is also trapped. The hunter is coming. If I try to jump, I will not be able to solve. It is impossible for me. And Prabhupada said, so, this father bird was very intelligent. What did he do? He flew away. He took sannyas. Prabhupada said. Actually, sannyas doesn't mean free from family. It's a bigger family you have to accept. Accept Vasudeva Kutumbakam, you have to accept the whole world. But anyway, that particular instance, Prabhupada was making the point that how we cannot solve the problem. Of course, Srila Prabhupada in that same lecture also says how a devotee should do needful for the family. But while doing our duties in the family, a devotee should know that only Krishna can protect. If Krishna doesn't sanction, then nothing can happen. So this is the consciousness that Prahlad Maharaj is imploring all of us to develop, that only Krishna can protect us. Otherwise, if we don't get Krishna as the intervening medium in our life, if we don't allow Krishna to enter our life, then our life will be hopeless. Then our life will be like a game. Chandramouli Maharaj gives his example. Very striking. He says material life without Krishna is like playing a game which you cannot win, but you cannot stop playing also. Can you imagine what a situation it will be? Like a child, a small boy is in a boxing ring and he's playing with a big boxer and constantly getting beaten. And he wants to escape, but he can't escape. He has to play. He has to be there in the boxing ring. So this is our situation. So we can't win the game because we look for happiness. Happiness, we don't get that happiness. And then we don't get that happiness. Okay, then I'll give up material life. No, the attachment is so strong because we don't have Krishna as a spiritual attachment. For that attachment forces us to continue to play the game of material life without any hope of winning. That's very frustrating. Like I once saw, when I and another devotee were going in the local train, we saw was some small altercation, some dispute, and one 75-year-old man was fighting with a young 20-year-old boy. And this man was shouting, old man, you are teaching me about this train? I am traveling in the train for last 55 years. I am 75-year-old. And everybody is appreciating. Are you 55-year-old veteran in the local train? And this devotee told me, Prabhu, but what this means? This means for 55 years he is traveling in the hope of happiness. And still he is not happy, he is frustrated. That's why he is fighting. What a graphic example. So we can't win this game, but we can't stop playing either. Therefore, we have to allow Krishna to enter our lives. That is the only hope. Otherwise, we'll keep getting tossed. I read in one, somebody sent me a story about how God created this world. It is not in the scriptures. This is in Kali Puran newspapers. The Puranas of Kali Yuga. So it seems God first created donkey and told the donkey that you will have long life of 60 years. And the donkey said, my dear God, what I'll do with 60 years? So God said, theek hai. We'll make it 30. Be happy. Donkey said, okay. Then God created a dog and told the dog, my dear dog, you please live happily in this world. Keep barking. Live for 30 years. He said, my dear God, what I'll do with 30 years? Reduce it half. Material world is very bad. So God said, okay, you live for 15 years. And then after this, God created monkey and told him that you will have a long life of 20 years. Enjoy. And monkey said, my dear God, 20 years in this miserable material world? No, make it half. So God said, theek hai, live for 10 years. And then after that, God created man and said, my dear man, you live happily for a long life of 20 years. Man said, 20 years in this beautiful, wonderful material world? Give me more. So then God said, okay, I have given 30 less to donkey. So take that 30 years. I have given 15 less to the dog. Take that 15 also. And monkey also I have reduced from 20 to 10. For that remaining 10 years you take. So that makes 55 extra years. So you have 20 years, then 55. So 75 years you live, average. Be happy. So it is said, since then, man is living like that. First 20 years he lives like a human being, enjoys. The next 30 years he lives like a donkey, working hard. And then next 15 years, like a dog, he's protecting all that thing he has earned and worked hard. And the last 10 years, like a monkey, he keeps jumping from one son's house to another son's house. Seeking. This is the plight of modern man. Without Krishna, we are miserable. So this is a very, very, very sobering reality that Prahlad Maharaj is revealing. So this is the benediction he is asking. My dear Lord, I want nothing to do with material world. I simply want pure devotional service. Because any material solution will only add to the problems and all material relationships are temporary and they are not going to help. But now he reveals that I want to practice pure devotional service, but not alone. I want to practice devotional service in the association of devotees. And I want to serve my spiritual master. In text number 18, he says,
सोहं प्रियस्य सुहृदा परदेवताय लीला कथास्तव नरसिंह विरींच गीता अंजस्थितर्मनुगृणन् गुण विप्रमुक्तो दुर्गा निते पदयुगालय हंस संग. माय डियर लॉर्ड, आई वॉन्ट टू एंगेज इन योर ट्रांसेंडेंटल लविंग सर्विस इन द एसोसिएशन ऑफ डिवोटीज, हंस संग, संग ऑफ स्वैन लाइक डिवोटीज, because in their association I will become free from all material contamination. Because they are so dear to you, so I shall chant your glories following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Brahma and his disciplic succession. In this way I shall undoubtedly be able to cross over the ocean of material existence. Very beautiful. He is wanting to practice devotional service in the association of devotees. He could have actually started his own parampara because he's got direct darshan of Lord, but he is saying, I want to follow the parampara of Lord Brahma. I want to chant their prayers. And then there are a series of verses actually. We don't have much time. But he is saying, Prahlad is saying, my dear Lord, everybody is influenced by material energy. And I have seen people suffer. And he is saying, my dear Lord, what a deadly combination is there in this world. There is material energy which is harassing us, first. And then he says, on top of this material world, there is our own mind. So mind and material energy, what a combination. And they are making impossible for the soul to be liberated. So therefore, my dear Lord, my only hope is you. And I want to serve your devotees. And I have seen in my own life, I am actually crushed by the wheel of time. He is saying, I am crushed. Therefore, I surrender to you. Please protect me. I have seen that there is no happiness in this world. I have seen my father. He is now recollecting. My father would be angry. He would laugh sarcastically at the demigods. And he would just move his eyebrows and the demigods would be shivering. But I have seen that such powerful father of mine has now been vanquished in a moment. This is how powerful material world is. Nobody can be great. Prabhupada writes in the purport, Prahlad Maharaj learned by seeing his father perish. We should learn by seeing how Hitler, and he gives many examples of leaders who have died. We can also see them and learn that nobody can be. In one place Prabhupada writes, so people say that Hitler killed so many people, but nobody asks who killed Hitler, how time finished him. But then Prahlad says, I've got now complete experience of these worldly pleasures. I've understood the essence. I just want you to keep me in touch with your pure devotee. Let me just become the servant. And I want to serve your pure devotee. And then he says, how can I give up service to your pure devotee? Evam janam nipatitam prabhavahi kupe. I am been thrown into a blind well. Evam janam nipatitam prabhavahi kupe. Kama bi kama manuya prapatan prasangat. Kritvamasa surasina bhagavan grita. He is saying, my dear Lord, please place me as a servant of your dear devotee Narad Muni. I want to serve your devotees in the association. So this is a very powerful prayer also. We know this material world is bad. It's miserable, but we want the shelter of devotees. Because in their association, we can understand all this. In association of devotees, we get many practical things. You know, we actually are able to get connected to Krishna. We get practical guidance also. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that when we come in front of deities, we should pray for the association of devotees. And when we are with devotees, we pray to them, we tell them to help us remember Krishna. So like that, both. Kabe Sri Chaitanya More Koribe No Daya Kabe Ami Paibo Vaishnav Padachaya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when will Lord Chaitanya be merciful to me? He will be merciful when he gives me shelter of Vaishnavas. Kabe Sri Chaitanya More Koribe No Daya Kabe Ami Paibo Vaishnav Padachaya. And then he says, what am I supposed to do when I get association of devotees? What are we supposed to do in that association? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if I get association of devotees, I am going to cry to them. My dear Prabhu, please help me. Please help me remember Krishna. Kandiya kandiya jana iba dukha gram samsara anala hoite magibe vishram. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I will go and tell that Vaishnav. Kandiya kandiya, I will cry. This world is a blazing forest fire. My dear Prabhu, please help me. And when I pray like that, what will Vaishnava do? He is very merciful. Shuniya amara dukha Vaishnava Thakur आमा लागे कृष्ण आबे दिबे ना प्रचुर। वैष्णवेरा आवेदन कृष्ण दया माया ए न पामार प्रति हबे ना सा दया। He says, hearing my plea, Shunya Amar Dukkha, Vaishnav Thakur, Vaishnava is so merciful. Ama lagi Krishna abe dibena prachur. He will take my appeal so seriously that he will place it in front of Krishna. Krishna, this devotee is suffering so much. Please accept this appeal. And then what will Krishna do? Vaishnavera avedana Krishna dayamaya. Krishna is very merciful. He will hear this appeal of a Vaishnav and he will deliver this pamar, this miserable wretch like myself. So we have to approach devotees and beg them to pray to Krishna for us. So this is also Prahlad Maharaj is aspiring for. And then Prahlad Maharaj, another prayer is, another benediction he asks is most amazing. He says, my dear Lord, please forgive my father. This is the one benediction I ask. Because Prahlad is recollecting how once Hiranyakashipu put Prahlad on his lap and smelled his head and a tear came from his eye. He had that fatherly affection. So Prahlad is negating or is ignoring all the atrocities that Hiranyakashipu committed. He simply wants to remember this one good thing he did once he embraced him and he, you know, smelt his head. He just takes that one quality. See, it's very easy to find faults in devotees who are ocean of wonderful qualities. But here is a person who is an ocean of bad qualities. And Prahlad is able to get that one. Devotees are said to be like those who are seeking gold in a filthy place. Filth anybody can see. It doesn't require much intelligence or much greatness to see faults in devotees. It's very easy to see faults. But a real hallmark of a great devotee is he who can actually see good in anyone. And Prahlad is teaching us that we should see good. And we know that all Vaishnavas, we are all struggling. We'll all have faults. No point pointing out the faults of each other. It's like, you know, we are taking a shower. We are all dirty. And we are getting cleansed. So while taking shower, we cannot say, oh, he has more dirt. No, we are all getting purified by the process of Krishna consciousness. But this is also a revelation of Prahlad's quality of gratitude. He's so grateful that his father loved him, was affectionate. So my dear Lord, please forgive him. In fact, Srila Prabhupada is also grateful to Hiranyakashipu. In one lecture, Prabhupada says, so we should be grateful to Sriman Hiranyakashipu. Prabhupada says. He calls Hiranyakashipu as Sriman. He says, because of Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Narasimhadev came. That. So this is also another quality. And finally, Prahlad Maharaj is aspiring for a very special benediction. And he says, what is this very special benediction that he asks for? These three verses reveal his deep internal mood. Naivo dvije paraduratyaya vaitaranyas tvadvirya gayana maha amrutamagna chitta shochetato vimuka chetasa indriyartha maya sukhaya baramudvahato vimudhan. Now he is saying, my dear Lord, I am not afraid of material existence because wherever I am going to be fully absorbed in your thoughts. But my concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. My dear Lord, I see that there are many saintly people. They are interested only in their deliverance. They go to Himalayas or forests to meditate. As for me, I do not wish to be liberated alone. Leaving aside all these poor fools, I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot become happy. Therefore, I wish, my dear Lord, take all of them back at your lotus feet. Why? Because then maitunadi grihamedi sukam mitucham. Because people are absorbed in sex life, they are suffering. Please save them. So he is now revealing the heart of a preacher, a complete compassion. He's feeling burning compassion for all the suffering souls. So this is Prahlad Maharaj's prayers that he wants all the conditioned souls of this material world to be delivered. Prabhupada would always quote this example. Whenever he would give the example of Jesus Christ, he would say, Prahlad Maharaj also prayed to be all the living entities to be delivered. And Srila Prabhupada was a perfect example of an acharya who followed the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. In one purport, Prabhupada compares how, just like Prahlad faced atrocities, ISKCON was also facing atrocities at that time from everywhere.
criticisms from government. ISKCON devotees are called as CIA agents. The Indian Brahmanas were criticizing Prabhupada for giving initiation to Americans. But Prabhupada said, we have to go on remembering Krishna. And Prabhupada, like Prahlad Maharaj, always remembered Krishna, never forgot Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada was in Los Angeles one time, and he was sitting in the grass in the garden, and the grass was a little wet, so devotee bought a chadar. And Prabhupada said, no, I am sitting on the lap of Krishna. Prabhupada could see, ito narasimha parato narasimha. Prabhupada could always see Krishna everywhere. Then a little breeze blew, it was a little cold, a devotee bought chadar. Prabhupada said, no, I am feeling embrace of Krishna. Prabhupada was always perceiving Krishna's presence. Once they were walking in Paris, in the busy streets, and a lot of traffic was going, a lot of young boys and girls were walking, and a devotee was accompanying Prabhupada, was feeling, what a horrible place. And suddenly, to his shock, Prabhupada stopped walking, smiled and said, this is Vrindavan. This is Paris. So Prabhupada was in Paris, but he was remembering Vrindavan. We may be in Vrindavan and we may be thinking. So Prabhupada was an example of somebody who always remembered Krishna, like Prahlad Maharaj. And Prabhupada's preaching compassion is like in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. If you see his travel, I was reading Arishwari Prabhu's diary, how Prabhupada traveled from Bombay to Melbourne. He slept at 11:30, 11 o'clock he slept. At 12 o'clock he got up in Bombay, did his translation. 5 o'clock he got massage, early morning 5 o'clock massage. And then 6 o'clock they leave. They go to Colombo. From Colombo they have a connecting flight to Singapore. And in Singapore there is some custom problem, this problem. They have to wait in the pub, in the bar, where all these karmis are sitting, getting drunk. Prabhupada is sitting there quietly chanting. And then from Singapore they take a flight to Sydney. And then from Sydney there's a connecting flight to Melbourne, like that. So Prabhupada reaches, he left early morning at 5 o'clock. He reaches the next day evening at 5 o'clock. All this time he's either in chair or in the flight. And chanting and dozing off little, that's it. And when he reaches Melbourne, finally in the evening at 5 o'clock, he's giving powerful classes. Very logical. Generally when you are tired and hungry, you don't have clarity of thought. And what to speak of an old man. But Srila Prabhupada was so fixed in Krishna that he had such, one Christian fanatic comes and Prabhupada is arguing with him. Beautiful conversation. Prabhupada proves to him how there is soul and how Krishna is the name of God. This boy keeps arguing, and the argument goes on till 11 o'clock in the night. And all the other disciples and devotees, they are struggling to remain awake. This is morning, 5 o'clock he has left. Next day, evening, 11 o'clock, finally Prabhupada takes rest. And what he does? Again, 12:30 is up for translation. No jet lag problem, nothing. And morning 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock he's saying, okay, morning walk, where are the others? All sleeping. Harishwari Prabhu and Pushta Krishna Swami, they were accompanying Prabhupada. They were so exhausted by this 36-hour trip, journey, that they just couldn't get up. They crashed, and they were young boys. And Prabhupada was fire preaching. Then he was at Fiji Islands. There one Mr. Punja, he arranged programs for Prabhupada, and Harishwari Prabhu felt this is too exerting for Prabhupada. So he told him, you should cancel these programs, Prabhupada is old, he is tired. And then this man went and told Prabhupada that you are tired, you should take rest. Prabhupada said, I am tired? Who said? No, your disciples are saying that you should take some rest and you should not have so many programs. So then Prabhupada excused himself, went to Harishwari Prabhu, he chastised him left, right and center, and then finally he said, my biggest inconvenience for me is traveling. And I have voluntarily accepted all this traveling inconvenience simply because this life I want to give for preaching. So what is this program? If he's arranging some extra program, let him arrange. I have come here to preach, to give Lord Chaitanya's message. So like this, Prabhupada just was going all out. And the most amazing is the Avalon Ballroom. Prabhupada is in Vrindavan, well settled. At the age of 70, he goes to America and then goes to San Francisco. And at Avalon Ballroom, they have a rock concert. And Prabhupada goes there, of all places, to lead Harinam Sankirtan. That is the most bizarre place on earth at that time. That was considered as the capital of the hippies. In fact, they thought that the hippies of San Francisco, 8 Hashbury district, they will take over the whole city of San Francisco. That was the fear. And Prabhupada was right there, in the middle of all these hippies. And for this rock concert, Shyam Sundar Prabhu and others had arranged a big program. They had a big Like, you know, in Prerna, we have special guests. We call chairman of some company or HOD of some university like that. But for that rock concert, the special chief guests were sitting on the stage. One was Augustus Osley, who was the local greatest dada, gunda of that area. He was the chief guest. And there were some crazy people with crazy clothes coming. One man came and he was asked for a ticket. He said, I'm the mayor of San Francisco. The crazy man. So he was also given a special seat on stage. Then one man came dressed only in peacock feathers. One man came with tambura, you know, like Narad Muni. And he is in his own world. I'm chief guest. I'm special guest. So they're all given special on stage. And this rock concert. And Prabhupada enters. And when Prabhupada enters, the whole, they make way and they blow conchal. And Prabhupada enters in, you know, regal style. He enters. And as soon as he enters, they had already planned earlier. The whole auditorium, that whole area is filled with photographs of Krishna splashing, you know. And then Prabhupada leads Kirtan to that hippies. And Kirtanananda feels, oh, this is Prabhupada's old man. He's going to be too heavy for his heart. He can't take it. He says, Swamiji, stop. Prabhupada goes, you know, faster. For 1 hour, he leads Kirtan. And finally, the big bang, he stops the Kirtan. And then he says, Jai Om Vishnupad. He has Premadhuni prayers even there. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa. And after that excellent 2 hour Kirtan rock concert, Prabhupada walks out that crazy place. Prabhupada comes out and sits in the car and turns to his disciples and says, this is no place for a brahmachari. Can never go to such crazy place. Prabhupada was going there, preaching. So Prabhupada was actually just like, you know, Maya is considered to be the enemy. Prabhupada was entering the enemy camp. And alone. And not only was entering and attacking the fortress of Maya, he was recruiting people from Maya's camp. I mean, it's like, you know, it's somebody on the border, he goes to the other side. He's a fighter, warrior, he goes to the other side, not only kills the enemies, he employs enemies in his own. That was what Prabhupada was doing. Prabhupada was picking up people from Maya's camp single-handedly. This was, he was displaying this great compassion following the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. So to conclude today's class, basically this is the essence, Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, which Rupa Goswami has also given. 3 things, Vaishnava Seva, Nam Ruchi, Jeev Daya. Service to Vaishnavas, attraction to Krishna or Krishna's holy names, and compassion to living entities. This is the essence of Prahlad Maharaj's prayers. And to conclude, I'd just like to briefly summarize today's class. Today we began by discussing how Prahlad Maharaj's prayers have 3 unique qualities that they are offered. First, there is humility, glorification, gratitude, and then there is asking for blessings. And that also, that blessing is also not material. That is pure devotional service. And third is, these prayers are offered at the peak of success. And we discussed how Prahlad Maharaj is an example of remembrance of Krishna. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. And also then we discussed Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, expression of humility, how we all have been given this precious gift of Krishna consciousness. We should be humble and grateful and accept this gratefully. And then to avoid being occupied with thoughts of ourselves in the name of humility, we should also practice the second principle that Prahlad Maharaj taught, and that is glorification of Krishna, constantly glorifying Krishna. And we discussed how, what are the different glories of Krishna. First is, Krishna is the real hero. He is the one who reciprocates with all his fans, and we have to take shelter of him. And secondly, he glorifies Krishna as a person who is self-satisfied. If we serve him, we get benefit. And thirdly, if we glorify the Lord, we get purified. If we remember him, our devotional service improves. And how the Lord appears in various roles as his own pastime. And then Prahlad Maharaj also reveals his immense gratitude. The proof is that he is offering these prayers after the event, and also he is offering prayers for his father. He is begging for forgiveness for his father. And then finally he asks for benedictions. He says, my dear Lord, I don't want to be a merchant. He asks only for pure devotional service, no material desires. And he asks that I want to be in the association of devotees and serve my spiritual master. And he also begs for forgiveness. And most importantly, he begs the Lord for giving him the strength to preach Krishna consciousness and get all the conditioned souls back to the spiritual world. And finally, we discussed how Srila Prabhupada is a perfect example of somebody who is embodying the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj and the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. So therefore, we can learn from this great Mahajan that we should also offer our hearts. I know sometimes devotees feel that Prahlad Maharaj is a pure devotee, I am very fallen. What can we offer prayers like Prahlad? That's true, we are not advanced and our hearts may be full of muck, dirt, all anarthas, lust. But still we should offer our hearts to Krishna, although it is dirty. Because do we have an alternative? Can we offer something else to Krishna? So even though our hearts are dirty, we give that heart to Krishna. And begging Krishna, Krishna, because Krishna is very humble. Can you imagine somebody gives us a very dirty gift, will we take it? But we offer our dirty heart to Krishna, Krishna accepts. So we can beg Krishna, Krishna, please take this wretched heart of mine, clean it up and give it back to me, and then I'll give it back to you again. I'll offer you a nice gift. But right now, this is all I have. And I don't have the strength to clean my heart. We can't clean the anarthas. This is hopelessly beyond us. But Krishna, you are so merciful. You are Bhakta Vatsal. Vatsal means cow. Vatsa means calf. So when the calf is born, the calf is filled with all the different fluids and different substances stuck on the body of the calf. So as soon as the calf is born, all these things are there on the body, but the cow licks up all of that and cleans her own child. So Krishna is called as Bhakta Vatsala. Krishna is like the cow to the devotee who is like a calf. So we are all having all these lust, anarthas and all these horrible things in our consciousness. We just tell Krishna, Krishna, I am yours. We offer our hearts in whatever condition we are in to Krishna. And then Krishna, like mother cow, licks up all our sins. And he places us in our constitutional position. Jivara Swarupa Krishnera Nityadas. So we are very, very fortunate that by the causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his representatives, we have been given this wonderful Sangha here at Radha Gopinath Mandir. We can be very grateful and humbly aspire to be the servant of all devotees. And very gratefully accept this gift which Srila Prabhupada has given. Then our insignificant lives will have some meaning and some worth. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Kantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prahlad Maharaj ki jai. Narsingh Dev Bhagwan ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande.